Up next, the winner of the True Value Toolkit Contest and a few Handy Guy Christmas ideas.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, where we work together on that honey-do list, featuring head-to-head tool challenges and your questions. Here are the Handy Guys themselves, Brian and Paul. What a concept!
Okay, Brian, we have an interesting show. For one, before we get too far into the show, we need to announce the winner, because it is now time to finally look through all our entries in our True Value Toolkit Contest, where right. The entrants were expected to submit an idea for a valid use of duct tape.
That's right.
And we've received those, we've gone through them, we've argued over them, and we finally come to an agreement about the best entry.
Well, I don't know if we completely agree, but I think we've settled on a winner.
Yeah, we've settled on a winner. And in addition, we also have three products which could be used as stocking stuffers or just gift ideas for the handy guy in your life.
That's right. Some pretty neat ideas and some pretty innovative stuff that we'll be talking about here in a bit.
Now, full disclosure, we occasionally will have companies come to us and want to send us products, and generally we turn them away because we just don't want to have stuff sent to us that we don't have time to try it or use. But these were three products that we said, okay, fine, send them to us. We'll check them out and give you some feedback, the company and also our listeners, and we're going to talk about them, and these are potential gift ideas. So we'll get to that right after we give out our contact information.
You can call us, use the call me button on the top of the website if you'd like, and we'll call you, and our voicemail system will call you and leave a message with your email address, and we'll follow up with you on email. We may use your question on the air, or you can fill out the contact form on our website, www.handyguyspodcast.com.
Want great deals on tools that the handy guys recommend? Click on the Our Store button at www.handyguyspodcast.com.
Okay, Brian, it comes to that point in time where we need to announce the winner.
Why don't we announce it at the end of the show? We make everybody listen to the whole show then find out who.
But we're also going to have it on our website so they can get it quickly that way.
That's right. It is going to be right on there. So they don't even need to listen to the show.
I think we can give out the winner. But we need to tell our listeners that we got a lot of interesting ideas for valid uses of duct tape, and you can find them on our website. They're in the comments section of episode
87,
yeah. And you can check them out, but we're going to have a whole show dedicated to a discussion of these answers.
Right. There's some really funny ones and some good ones, some bad ones. But we're going to go through a lot of those. We're going to dedicate a whole show to it, but not today. So today we just want to announce the winner.
And we're going to do that. But, you know, Brian, we had to kind of struggle a little bit about who we settled upon as the winner. And again, there's a lot of good ideas, some funny. But this one really, I thought, was both a valid use of duct tape when you're in a pinch, you know. It's a temporary use. It allowed this, this is from Andrew, right, from Auburn, Massachusetts. It allowed him, it was the right tool for the job, is what I'm getting at, Brian. When he had to kind of MacGyver his way into a situation here, and why don't you go ahead and read his entry?
Okay, well, this actually came from a friend of his. So, Andrew, you're going to need to share the tools with your friend who invented this idea. But he said, a friend of mine was in a situation once where he was underdressed for the occasion. He had a button-down shirt with him and a sweater, but no tie. Thinking quickly, he fashioned together what amounted to a duct tape clip-on tie. It would have been pretty obvious if he took the sweater off, but all he saw was the knot. It looked pretty good, like a silver tie. So, Andrew...
No, wait a minute, Brian. It's hard enough to tie a real tie. How do you tie a duct tape tie and make it... That was the part, you know, I'm finally realizing that's the part that he could see. Oh, boy. That is
great. Are we sure Andrew won?
Yes, Andrew won. Some of our listeners may not like that as our choice, but I think it was a valid use of duct tape. And why not? You know, there you go. So Andrew has won a new toolkit, and maybe next time he can fashion use a screwdriver as a tie or something. I don't know.
How would you do that? I don't even know. All right. Well, so Andrew, we'll shoot you an email, let you know that you won, and we'll get your shipping address, and we'll get that out to you before Christmas.
Congratulations, and thank you for all those that submitted ideas. We're going to talk about them in a future show.
Yeah, there was a lot of good ones and a lot of similar ones, you know, about, you know, duct tape with plastic.
Labels.
And labels and sealing, you know, work areas. There are all kinds of different kinds of uses and a lot of other funny ones as well. So we'll go through all of those in a future show.
All right, let's get to these cool products coming up after this.
You are listening to the Handy Guys Podcast.
Okay, Brian, first we have a couple products here. We actually have three products we want to talk about. We're not going to do what we did last year where we had, a whole buyer's guide, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, we had a whole stocking stuffer, you know, top 10 stocking stuffers or something like that.
We just don't have that much time to review that many products. So I'm going to, you can hear some noise here in the background. I'm trying to get this big new item that we have here, which is kind of interesting, Brian. When I first heard about this product, I wasn't too sure. But when we got our hands on it, we found that it was a pretty decent product, and it's called the MagnoGrip.
Right. Well, MagnoGrip has a series of products. They've got, but essentially what their catch is, or their angle, is they have essentially magnets that are either built into a wristband or into a tool bag that, or a tool belt, so that if you're working on something and you've got these small parts and you need to keep track of them, instead of stuffing them in your pocket where then you've got to fish them out and sort them out, you can actually just stick them to the magnet on the pocket of the tool belt or right on your wrist so you don't lose those small parts as you're doing whatever your project is.
Right, so you just heard the Velcro from the wristband. So it's a pretty big wristband. It kind of reminds me of back in the day where it was cool to have a big watch band, you know, with a digital watch. I used to have a real big band.
That was never cool, Paul.
And you could attach your watch to it. Well, it's a big wristband that has the magnet on it. And like if you're doing a small job, you could grab your, you know, actually, I could see myself using this for small jobs around the house, the wristband, even big jobs, but you just grab the nails or the screws. Maybe you're working on a deck, and you grab that, and you don't feel like using the whole tool belt. You can just grab those nails, and you just just put them on your wrist. It holds them all there really well.
Yeah.
And they're all those nails or screws or whatever are really handy. For the small parts, I could see it being very convenient. So that's the wristband. But the tool belt is something that I find very interesting because not only does it have – it's like a traditional tool belt.
Yeah, so, and it's a really nice tool belt too. It's that ballistic nylon. Mm-hmm. It's a nice, you know, red color, so it's going to be visible. But it seems really well made, really sturdy. And they sent two different configurations of it with either sliding pockets or sewn-on pockets. But it's got the hammer loop, the place for your tape measure, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, what I liked about it is it's a traditional tool belt. In fact, it's configured almost identical to my leather tool belt. So when I first put it on, I thought, oh, this is great. It's just what I'm used to.
Right.
And with the addition of the MagnoGrips on the front pockets on the outside, at least on this one, and so you have not only your pockets where you can put a bunch of screws and things, but then you can also stick them to the outside of the pockets.
Yeah, that's, you know, so, it's got the place for your carpenter pencil, you know, all the traditional pockets. And, you know, mine get worn out. And you know what else I find is if I'm working on something where I've got a lot of little parts, like if I'm taking something apart to fix it and I've got my tool belt on, all those parts get kind of jumbled up down in that pocket and they're hard to find. And so if I've got a few parts that I need to get to right away and can stick them right there on that magnet, I think that might be useful.
You know, I'm always digging in the bottom of my tool belt, especially when I'm doing electrical work for the staples.
Oh, yeah.
And I throw them in a pocket, and then you're right, I'm burying them, sticking my hand down
there. Burying under the
tools,
right?
Yeah, and my hands are getting all cut up from reaching down in there with all the other sharp
objects. So you just throw a half a dozen, 10 staples, stick them on the outside, and they're right there where you need them.
Hmm.
It's not going to hold a whole box of staples there, but it's going to hold certainly hold a
fair amount. And I'm gonna have to start using that soon for my man cave project I've been working
yeah,
on.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about your man cave too much. No. I think we mentioned it on one show.
Maybe we did, yeah. So we'll talk about that at future time. So that's the Magna Grip, and you can find that on our store.
Right, we're going to put some links on the blog post that accompanies this show. So you can click there and see the different products. We'll have some pictures on the website as well. And if you order that through our store, that'll help keep us on the air.
Okay. This other product is one that's great for the handy guy that likes to tinker. Now, we haven't done too much with cars and related to handy guys and cars at this point.
No, we haven't.
Neither of us are auto mechanics, and we tend to focus on other things. Sometimes, right. You know, you'll find Brian taking apart the door of his car in his driveway or something like that. And I need to do that myself actually soon because the speaker's blown in the door.
I just replaced two speakers in the Suburban over Thanksgiving holiday.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe I'll have to take apart the door of our Toyota. It doesn't look that easy, but I'm sure I could Google it. So we haven't done a lot, but there's this cool product from CarMD.com. And what you do is you order their reader of, well, you explain, what does it read
sure.
on your car?
Well, it's a, it reads the computer in your car. So it's got to be a newer, like a 96 or newer, I think it is.
Yes.
Model car that has a computer, and it will tell you what's wrong with your car.
So if you have a service engine light, you know, that mysterious light that a lot of people like to ignore.
That's right.
It will tell you why
that light's coming on. And so, you know, the computer isn't going to track everything, but the newer the car is, the more things that it's going to track and be able to report using this tool. And these type of scanners, these computer scanners, have been on the market for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
I have an old one. And it was always a pain in the neck to say, okay, you plug it in and it gives you some kind of a
code.
You know, it'll say like 2A,
right.
You know, X or, you know, some weird code like that. And that meant that the oxygen sensor was improperly functioning. But you had to look it up.
Right. And you had to look it up in a book or something they gave you. And
right. The
CarMD product is like that. When it finishes reading, it took like 15 seconds. And it has a whole bunch of graphics or symbols on it. But I ignored all that because I realized that they had a website. And all you had to do was to plug it into your computer, install their little piece of software first, then plug it into the USB port on your computer, and it would take you to their website where you could register a free account, and it would give you all the diagnostic information in one nice, clean report.
Right. And it even, on mine, it pulled up the VIN number, so it knew it was a 2002 Chevy Suburban.
I had to type in my VIN number when I created my account.
Really?
Yeah.
See, on mine, it read that off the computer.
Wonder if I did something wrong.
Yeah, you might have. It might have been an operator
it prompted, error. It prompted me for the VIN number. Anyway, but that's interesting. Yeah, it makes sense that it can get that.
Yeah, so it pulled that off. So all I did was plug it in, and it popped up, and it said, the only thing it asked me was it automatic or manual transmission.
Right.
And I put that
in
there.
I got that as well.
And then it gave me a full report. And fortunately for me, no check engine light, was off, no codes. It says I'm ready for my emissions test. Fuel system monitoring complete, comprehensive catalytic monitoring complete, and all
oxygen
this,
sensor is good.
All that.
Okay.
And it went through that whole thing and told me it was all good.
So on the basic stuff, though, essentially it says that your service engine light is not on, and here's why. Here's all the things that are working right. But if you dig into the website, it also gives you a lot of other information, all your service bulletins, recalls, things like that.
That's right. So because my Chevy Suburban, the one I tried it out on, is an older vehicle, it's, 6 years old, 7 years old now, there's a lot of technical service bulletins. Those are things that the dealers get that describe a problem that maybe has been reoccurring and how to fix it. And on my vehicle, there were 676 technical service bulletins and 4 safety recalls.
Well, Brian, on mine, it didn't have as many. But you know, that's what happens when you buy a Honda, right?
Yeah. Plus it's newer.
Well, it is newer. But the other thing is I have a specific issue, not a bad issue, but one I've wondered about. I saw a service bulletin about it. So I went to get it and I see that you have to pay for it. So it's about $1.99
for the technical service bulletin.
No, I haven't looked at other sites. I know that when I've been on other sites, I see they charge also for service bulletin. So I don't know if that's right. The norm or what the price is normally.
I used to be a member of another site, and I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but it was a monthly subscription. So you could, so I've bought those bulletins before, and it was like $20 per car per period of time.
Most of those service bulletins are not, you don't need to worry about. There are issues that may affect a small portion of the owners.
Somebody had that problem and they want to make sure that the dealers know how to deal with it if they run into it.
Or it may have been corrected. But if you know something specific, it was kind of nice that for that small fee, I could just go ahead and get it. But I'll tell you know what I like best about this product, Brian?
What?
Is the simplicity. The hardest part was finding that port in my car, and I knew it was where it was. Usually it's on the driver's side underneath the dash, but it was just a matter I had to stick my head under there to actually find it because it's dark and it was literally kind of off to the side, and if you even feeling around, you just couldn't find it. But once you stuck your head under there, you could find it, and you just had to plug it in and turn your ignition on, and it beeped 4 times, I think it was, after about 30 seconds. And now it's stored your data, and then at my convenience, I could plug it into my PC and go on.
And there's your info.
So
yeah, it was really neat. I knew where the port was on mine, and so that wasn't the hardest part for me. Was filling out the registration form, name, address, phone number. Yeah. That took the most time.
And they asked for the same information when you put your credit card in to buy the service bulletin. Even I couldn't just click on same as whatever.
Right.
That was a little bit kludgy. Yeah, so hopefully they'll clean a couple of those things up on the website. But it's a pretty cool product. I haven't looked at others, in fairness.
Right. I do have that older one.
Right.
You know,
It's
way better than that. So that it integrates with the PC and all of that is really, really nice.
What's neat, though, I got the idea from their website on carmd.com. But, I mean, you could use this thing if you're looking at used cars.
Just take
them out for a spin, plug it in, get the information, and you can
– Right.
And supposedly some unethical used car dealers, if there's a service engine light, sometimes will disconnect the cable that to the light or do something. I don't know.
Right. There is a way to reset the computer.
Yeah. You might be able to get some of the information off of used cars you're looking at just to give you some idea of what's going on.
Yeah, because that service engine light isn't always on. And that computer will store, as I recall, the most recent – it's probably going to vary depending on the computer and the model car and the year and so forth. But it'll store a history of events that cause that light to come on, because there might be 30 or 40 different things that cause the check engine light or the service engine soon light to come on. So you don't want to know what the one thing is that caused it to come on right at that moment, but you want to know the previous five things that caused it to come on the 5 different times that it came
exactly.
on.
Exactly. You know what would be cool, Brian, is if they started to store your service records in that on the computer as well as...
Wouldn't that be nice?
Pull up everything.
Whoever dealer,
they would just pull, when they type their little description of what they did on that date, and they would just upload it to...
It would store in the car, and it would be readable with something like RFID or Bluetooth technology.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't even need to plug in.
Exactly.
You'd just drive into the bay, and they'd have the whole history right there.
That would be cool.
I know GM is doing that with some service records. So, for example, I bought my pickup truck used. And after I bought it, I took it to the dealer, and I had them go through the whole vehicle, top to bottom, check on, safety recalls, make sure they were addressed and things like that. And they had in their computer that the cables on the tailgate were replaced. Apparently, they had a problem with some of them breaking on some vehicles. So they already knew that that had been done before I even bought the vehicle. So that was nice. So I think we're going to see more of that going on.
Cool. All right. Well, up next, we're going to talk about our final handy guy Christmas gift idea. It's called the PermaFlow Drain Management System.
Don't know where to get reliable answers for your do-it-yourself projects? why not search the Handy Guys Archive at handyguyspodcast.com.
Okay, Brian, this is the No Pain Drain from Permaflow.
Is this really a Christmas gift, Paul?
Oh, yes. You know what? This is for the that special person in your life
that often has
the old age-old problem of hair in drain trap and clogging up their drain left and right. This is actually a trap for a drain, and
so it goes under the sink, either a kitchen sink, a bathroom sink.
It's got an adapter, so it fits on the different size pipe. And it's kind of a universal adapter, so it should fit your sink.
Honestly, Paul, when I first heard about this product, I was very, very skeptical. Let me describe what it does.
You describe it, and I'll tell you about what I've done to get this thing tested.
Okay. So essentially, under every drain, you have what's called the trap. It's a bend in the pipe that holds water constantly to keep any smell from the sewer from coming back up through the sink. So what this product does is it's got two primary features. One is it's clear plastic. So if you can see if there's anything obstructing the drain, but it also has a, what could you call it? A knob on the side that you can turn, and it's got kind of like a windshield wiper blade sort of a thing that will swirl around in there to clear and push through any kind of a clog that you might have blocking the bottom of that drain. And so I thought to myself when I first saw it, I thought, well, you know, if I have a clog in my trap, I'll just unscrew it and take the trap off and clear it and put it back on.
For us, it's not very difficult to remove, you know, one of those traps. You just pop it off, clean it out, throw it back on.
Because I guess we're a little more handy than some people, I guess. But the clear plastic intrigued me because sometimes you don't know where that clog is. Maybe it's before the trap or after the trap. So you take it apart and you go, oh, that's not where my clog is.
Not always, but I've come up with a situation where it actually makes a lot of sense, Brian. I wasn't ready to just throw this on my sink just because, like you, it's just second nature to take a trap off. However, I brought this up to a coworker, and he's the same way. He's very handy, but he thought, you know what? His wife has her own sink. I think it's his wife that has the problem in their master bath, and she often has problems with either hair or other debris clogging up her sink. And she's not as likely to just maybe get into the plumbing. And if he's not around, her sink runs slowly. It would be really cool for her just to be able to flip this lever to turn it and clear it out. And he also thought it would be good for testing to see how well it works. So this is under testing as we speak. It has been installed. He had no problems installing it. It went on right away. I think it was about three or four weeks ago, I provided it. So we'll report back on how well this works, but it looks like it's designed well. It's built, seems to be built well. And, he let me know that it was very easy to install. He had no problem installing it. So it's in use in production, we might say.
Well, we'll put a picture of that up on the website as well and have a link to it if you want to buy that through the store or find out more information about it.
Now, Brian, what I also have found in addition to traps is that anytime you have a T or like if you have two sinks connecting, like in a kitchen, you're right. There's so many, all those different, anytime you have a different piece, there's likelihood of you can get a clog there, especially when someone just sent down like the peelings from like 28 potatoes and some carrots and who knows what else.
Who would do that?
Right. You know, like there's a trash can right behind. Anyway, so don't put everything you can down the disposal that you think, you know, just because it goes through doesn't mean it's going to make it through the plumbing.
Right. Now, always wondered now that I've seen this, why aren't all of those connections under the sink clear?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, that might be the best part about this product is that you can really quickly, even if you're like us and want to take, you know, realize that it's not just the trap, it could clog somewhere else. If you have this, you know, at least whether it's the trap or not.
Right. Just, is it before or after?
Right.
Right.
Just by looking at it. So you're right. In my situation, that would be very helpful in my kitchen sink where I get clogs at the different connectors between the dual sink and the where the you know the disposal connects. It's sometimes in a different spot every time.
Okay.
There's a business opportunity for somebody that wants
for
to...
For clear tubing under your sink.
Clear, just the traps and the drains, a drain pipe.
Yep.
You could make it clear. Interesting. All right. Well, we thank PermaFlow, and we also want to give thanks to MagnaGrip and CarMD for providing these products for us. They sent them to us so we could try them out. We so far like them, and the PermaFlow we're still a little up in the air on because we haven't put it through the rigorous testing that we're used to. But it looks like it has promise, we'll say. It won Popular Science's Best of What's New in 08, so they liked it maybe.
Those pop sci guys.
Yeah, who knows? All right, well, that's all we have for this week. But next week, coming up, we have another exciting Handy Guys episode of...
Which one is next week, Paul? Did we decide?
I don't know.
Is it going to be the duck... No, it's not going to be the duct tape show. Is it going to be the tile backsplash show?
No.
Is it going to be the painting show?
I don't know. Yeah.
Is it going to be the...
And user listener questions.
Listener questions. Yeah, we've got a whole bunch of listener questions we can talk about.
Okay. Up next week, we have another exciting show of the Handy Guys podcast. We're going to answer some listener questions and talk about Brian's recent paint project.
Yes.
Did it go okay, Brian? You all right? Painting isn't Brian's favorite subject.
It's not my favorite subject. It started out as one project, Paul, and it ended up as a different project. But let's just say the master bath is painted and everybody likes it.
Cool. All right. Well, we'll talk about that next week on the Handy Guys podcast.
Bye.
See ya.
The Handy Guys will be back next week. Same handy time, same handy website.